The mystery.
Yes. Glory.
That which was hid from generations.
Yes.
And now it is known.
Mm-hmm.
According to those that God has revealed it to.
Mm-hmm.
And we're happy to be in the company of those that he has revealed this glorious message to. Oh, hallelujah. We are so fortunate this morning. Let us sit prayerfully. Let us sit attentively in anticipation as the messenger, Deacon Howard Gavin, shall come with the message, the gospel of the grace of God. Let us receive him, that is the messenger, with this grace dispensation message from the grace covenant.
Yes.
At this time, let us receive him with a very hearty amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God.
We certainly again praise him for being here.
Thank God.
And him enabling and causing and determining us to minister and share in the message of this great, great truth. Amen. Let us pray before we begin on this particular journey. Now, dear and blessed Lord, our God and our Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your grace, your presence, your mercy, your kindness. Lord, we thank you for this truth that you've given us, showing us, Lord, who we are and from whence we were. Now, Lord, we thank you for these in our present, immediate presence, and for those, Lord, worldwide, throughout the globe, let alone this country, that are listening in, that you have caused, and Lord, it will be manifestly, that you cause even the more to listen in to this truth which is ours. Bless us on, Lord God. Illuminate our minds. Speak through your servant, O God. Cause as many as thou hast decreed at this time to hear. O God, we thank you, we praise you, cause joy, my God, to excel in our spirits in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Won't you turn with me to the book of Ephesians, the second chapter, and we're going to use as a context verses 8 through 16. Verses 8 through 16. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 16. And my immediate text will be Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. Praise God. Our reader is Elder William Nicholson. Elder, I think in the interest of time, we will read verses 8, 9, and 10 from the King James Version, and we'll read verses 11 through 16 from the Interlineal Greek text. Again, from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10 from the King James Version, and verses 11 through 16 from the Interlineal Greek text. Everyone have it? Say amen.
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 Elder, begin reading. Verse 8.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8.
Mm-hmm.
For by grace are ye saved through faith,
mm-hmm.
and that not of yourselves.
Amen. Even the King James gives us some enlightenment that we're not saved out of ourselves and through ourselves. All right, Elder?
It is the gift of God.
Mm-hmm.
Not of works,
mm-hmm.
lest any man should boast.
Read that one more time, Elder.
Not of works.
Not of works.
Lest any man should boast.
Uh-huh.
For we are his workmanship.
We are his workmanship.
Created in Christ Jesus.
Created in Christ Jesus
unto good works.
Unto good works. Here it comes. Listen up.
Which God hath before ordained.
Which God hath before ordained.
That we should be. That we should walk in them.
That we should walk in them. All right. Now, from the interlinear Greek text, there's some familiarity with the King James Version. But if you don't have a Greek interlinear Bible, just follow along in the King James Version. All right. Verse 11, Ella.
Ephesians 2:11.
Mm-hmm.
Wherefore, remember ye. That when.
Mm-hmm.
Ye the nations. In the flesh.
Now this is speaking of our progeny according to the flesh, where we were according to manifestation in the flesh in time. Don't worry about some terms that you may not be familiar with. As we go along, we're going to give definition of these terms: manifestation, actualization. All right? Remember that when ye, the nations in the flesh,
the ones being called
uncircumcision,
by the being called circumcision in the flesh,
according to the flesh, what?
Made by hands.
We were called, Gentiles were called the uncircumcision by the circumcision, the Jews in the flesh. We're talking about the way things looked, the way they were processed in time according to God's doing. All right? Verse 12.
That ye were.
Oh, listen at our plot of our progeny as Gentiles in time in the flesh. That ye were at that time what?
Without Christ.
Now that's scary. If we didn't have knowledge, it would be sure enough scary. But according to that, that would have been scary. At that time in manifestation. I don't know if I can keep holding the meaning of that word. That here it is. That, that is to display or show or have clearly revealed. That's manifestation. To display or show or have clearly revealed. In other words, is what we see is what God causes to appear in time, in the created entity of time. How it looks when you look around in time at it. All right. Keep reading, Ella.
Having been alienated from the commonwealth of Israel.
Oh, you know we were. We were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel.
And strangers of the covenants of promise.
We were strangers of the covenants of promise, even in the tent in the wilderness before Solomon's temple, they had to have an outer court of the Gentiles. We couldn't go in and worship amidst God's covenant people, Israel. We had to take the residual blessings and the residual stance in manifestation. That's the way it was. In manifestation as we viewed it from the earthly in time arena. All right, and what else?
Hope not.
We didn't have no hope if we didn't have God and a covenant or a relationship with God. No hope. In those that are in the world, the non-elect have no hope. That's God's doing. That's God's business. And don't go around trying to pick out who they are.
Amen.
The Lord knoweth them that are his.
That's right.
Amen. We don't. Who would have thought, and I got this from Sunday school teaching, who would have thought that the Apostle Paul, standing, giving his consent at the death and stoning of the kingdom preacher Stephen, who would have thought that he was a member of the body of Christ? And here he is killing a preacher that was preaching Christ, or giving consent to it. And he later did far beyond that. All right, so we were strangers from the covenants of promise. God is a covenant God. Israel was and is his covenant people. Contract, agreement, testament, they all mean the same thing. They were his covenant people, and they had promises. Mm-hmm. In manifestation, the way it looked, we had none. Read on, Elder.
Hope not.
We didn't have no hope, because we didn't have a covenant relationship as we knew of it, or the way it looked with God. All right?
Having and godless in the world.
Having and godless in the world. And if you read what is called the Old Testament, you'll see why I said what is called the Old Testament shortly. You will see that we were godless in the world. What else, Elder 13?
Now, but in Christ,
mm-hmm,
Jesus,
mm-hmm,
ye, the ones then being afar, became near,
yes,
by the blood of Christ.
In manifestation, according to our progenity in the flesh, Gentiles, we were far off. But in actualization, I keep bringing up these words. In actualization, we were made near. Manifestation is in time. Actualization is what God did in eternity. We were near. But it looked like, and according to testimony, in time, we were without hope and without any promises. Amen. All right, read on, Elder.
For he is in the peace of us.
For he is the peace of us. Peace. Irene. Contentment. Rest. And even assurance is in there. Peace. Peace. Comfort. Confidence. Peace. He, Christ, is our peace. He's the peace of us. What?
The one having both one,
uh-huh,
and a middle wall of partition,
uh-huh,
having broken the enmity in the flesh.
Yes, the enmity or the covenants of promise in manifestation that Israel had and we didn't in the flesh. All right. Broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now we're getting to the entity that we're going to be dealing with today. Us. Now. The now us. Members of the body of Christ. That's the only way that we, Jew and Gentile, would be one is in, that's the only way we are one, in the body of Christ. All right, Ella, read on.
The law of the commandments,
mm-hmm,
in decrees, having abolished,
mm-hmm,
in order that the two,
Jew and Gentile,
might create, having created.
This was God's work out of his in eternity, out of his decree, his saying. He decreed it that we would be one, but not in manifestation in the earth in time, but in the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Come on, Ella.
In himself.
One,
the new man.
Into one new man.
Making peace.
And verse 16.
And reconcile both.
And might reconcile, having reconciled. God is not doing anything in time. He's just showing it to you in time. It is done in eternity. This is what we call an aorist subjunctive. An aorist tense is a completed act. Now, in the Greek study manual, they say that it means unlimited or an event. Well, yes, it's unlimited because the aorist tense speaks of what God has done, finished, and completed in eternity. The subjunctive mood has an assertion that there's some doubt or uncertainty, and that being in time, not what God has already finished, but the uncertainty is in time as to who will manifest it, when it will manifest.
Yes.
But it's finished in eternality.
Yes.
God manifests it in time, and it's up to him when to show it to us.
Yes.
When to reveal it, and how much of it to reveal it, and to whom to reveal it. Did you finish that, Elder?
Yes, Lord.
Okay.
Verse 16.
Okay, and to reckon that and might reconcile both
mm-hmm.
in one body.
There it is, in the body of Christ.
To God through the cross,
mm-hmm.
killing the enmity in himself.
In himself. Amen. You can go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, and you will see that we lose all earthly distinctions. Jew, Gentile, male, female, bond, free, rich, poor, upper, lower, and ethnicities are all done away with in the body of Christ. If you've been perspiring about being wealthy, just put a little time on it. All that will be done away with.
Yes.
Time is short. And all wealth and all ethnic differences will come to a close.
Yes.
As we are manifested in the body of Christ.
Yes.
All right. I want to speak to you from this thought today. And I heard it mentioned. I was in the back reading along with Pastor the pastoral pastor's pen. Amen. I was reading along with it. I said, oh, I missed the reading of the pastor's pen. So I had my program with me, and I read along with him. And I heard this. So what we want to you to focus your mind on today is understanding our eternal salvation
yes.
through the grace dispensational scriptures,
mm-hmm.
actualization through manifestation or versus manifestation. Now, they are not opposed to each other, but manifestation is only the result of actualization.
Right.
What God has made real, brought into existence, this is what actualization means, to bring into being or cause to exist, existing as a fact in the present, which is eternity. Eternity is now. God has actualized everything in eternity. He has spoken everything that is to manifest in eternity or that exists. He has spoken it in eternity. And then he created time and all that is in time, the elements, and all, and us, for manifestation, showing what he has done. Understanding our eternal salvation, our salvation is not iffy, is not short-lived, it is eternal. Through, now, eternal. You know, sometimes we gloss over that word eternality, eternal, eternity. Saints of God, eternal or eternity means everlasting. It means no beginning. It means no ending. It means no changes. It means no sequencing. One thing coming after the other. You know, like first grade and then second grade and then third grade. No. No sequencing in eternity. No change. We are members of the body of Christ in eternity. No change. We are only manifested in the flesh in time. God manifests us in the flesh for his purpose and testimony
yes.
of what he had wrought for us. Amen. And all the things in time, they are there for testimony of what the Lord has done. Praise God. And he, amen, gives us enlightenment and causes many of us to mature so that we can be of assistance to others and ourselves deal with the incidents in the depraved entity of time. Amen. Listen to this. One of the most disheartening and distressing things to a child of God is to think that they have to do something to get saved in time, such as water baptism, tearing for tongues as evidence that they have the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. Confess and believe. The average child of God thinks that they have to do something of some of these that I'm mentioning to get saved or to stay saved. Confess and believe and receive Christ. Or repeat the sinner's prayer and come down the aisle and shake the preacher's hand. Or they think that through their performance, and this is the one we're going to deal primarily with today, they think the average child of God, we're talking about God's people. We're not talking about the world. God has assigned unto the world their lot. They are vessels of wrath. We are vessels of mercy. We can't gloat or boast because it's not of us, as we shall see. They think the average child of God, whatever denomination they are, the average child of God think that their performance of good works and their faith, we're going to dispel that, that will get and keep them saved. They think it'll get them saved and keep them saved. And the average child of God think that their performance and good works will determine where they will spend eternity. Well, some of these acts or deeds may be performed or manifested in the earthly lifespan of the believer, the child of God. You may have been baptized. You may have tarried for the Holy Ghost. You may have performed good works or been caused to perform good works and thinking that that was the basis of your good standing with God. You may have confessed and believed. You may have repeated the sinner's prayer. We do those things. But none of them did nor will cause us to get nor remain in our salvational sonship, member of the body of Christ relationship with our God and our eternal, spiritual, heavenly Father. None of them are the cause of us being in a salvational relationship with our God and in the body of Christ. To find out the basis, the foundation, and the confirmation of our safe and eternally secure relationship that we have with the God of our salvation, who is our Heavenly Father. We are safe. Our relationship in Christ, we are safe and secure. It's in eternity. No ending. No change. No sequencing. Not even an inkling of a chance of us being kicked out. None! No chance. No way! Praise Jesus. But we must examine the grace, dispensational, and covenantal scriptures, the mystery. That is that volume of truth And let me be clear, that volume of truth, the mystery, in 14 epistles, Romans through Hebrews, that was delivered by our ascended, glorified Lord Jesus Christ. Delivered exclusively. You know what exclusive is? Nothing like it. One of a kind. Only. Only to the Apostle Paul. From the heavenlies where all of ours is. Everything about us here, we don't really own. We are sojourners. Our citizenship is in the heavenlies in Christ. All of our true blessings, they're lasting. The stuff that lasts. Nothing we have here will last. Nothing. Good looks? No. Good health? No. Big money? No. Nothing we have here will last. Youthfulness? No. Glory to God. Exclusively to the Apostle Paul from the heavenlies, here's the clincher, for the grace church, us, which is his body. In these scriptures, and in them alone, are we given, number one, the basis of our salvation. The basis of our salvation. By his grace through the sacrificial shed blood of Christ. Now I know somebody gonna say, well, didn't Jesus take the cup and say, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood? Well, yes. That was for the kingdom apostles and elect. But he said nothing about their eternal, always have been relationship as we have in our grace dispensational truth. It's superior. It's more information there. As Elder showed, little bitty in that much Bible, the grace dispensational truth, our gospel, our contract is small in comparison. Small but potent. Potent. Hallelujah. You can find that, the basis of our salvation, the sacrificial shed blood of Jesus, yes. Examine Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, and chapter 2, verse 8, which we're going to deal with momentarily. Number two, in the grace dispensational scriptures and covenant, we find the purpose of our salvation. Not just to please us either. It is unto the good pleasure of God's will and to his eternal glory. If you think I'm blowing smoke, read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Thirdly, we find in the grace dispensational and covenantal scriptures, Romans through Hebrews, the sphere of our salvation. And it's not in the temporary sphere of time. Thank God our salvation is not in time. Might come easy, but it might go just as easily. We couldn't depend on it. What do you have in time that you know of that you can stretch out, put your hands behind your back, and depend on that thing every day, every hour, every moment, every second of every day? No thing. Your government? Who? You kidding me? Pension? They're talking about them now. Changing them now. Social Security? They would have been gotten rid of that. Your health care? Nothing. Pensions? Who? Nothing. Can we look around in time and depend upon? Our salvation is not in the temporary
temporary sphere of time and physicality, but it's in eternality. Read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. You heard me mention. Grace dispensational scriptures. Understanding our eternal salvation through the grace dispensational scriptures. Actualization versus manifestation. Manifestation is not on its own. It must follow actualization. God has decreed it by a word. He spoke it in eternity. And in time, he determines when, where, and to what degree it will manifest. You don't have to worry about the salvation of the mentally incompetent. You don't have to worry about the salvation of the baby that don't reach age of so-called accountability. Thank God, in some cases, you don't be able to count because we are sinners. We are sinners. Amen. I'm not talking about that the baby don't grow to fruition, but I'm talking about the accounting of that age. We are sinners. Praise God. What is a dispensation? I got to do this. I've got to do this. I'm going to have the dispensation and covenantal chart by God's grace as long as I'm in time and physicality. A dispensation, it means to dispense or administer an economy. An economy are the affairs, and the administration is the managing of the affairs. God has given the word, his word to his chosen elect throughout the created entity of time in dispensations and covenantal arrangements. God makes covenants with his elect in the various dispensations. And it's more of them than old and new. Then we have covenant. Covenant is, as we said earlier, is a contract, an agreement between two or more parties, and there are two types of them. We have the bilateral, wherein God does his part, and you can count on that. And man is required to do certain things on his part to fulfill, effectuate, or bring into fruition or fulfillment the covenant. Then we have the unilateral or unconditional. Those are conditional. Here we have the unilateral, uni meaning one, or unconditional covenant, meaning all the responsibility of effectuating or fulfilling the covenant is God places it on himself. No responsibility is placed on man, his elect. Now we have seven dispensations, and they each have seven their own covenants, seven covenants that go with them. We have the good news for each dispensation. It don't run around from dispensation or jump from dispensation to dispensation. We have the good news, gospel, or good message for each dispensation and in each covenant. And we have the federal head, the one whom God dealt with in the covenant for his elect in that dispensation. First dispensation we meet with in the Bible is innocence. The covenant is the Edenic covenant. And the federal head is Adam. He was in serenity and peace, and God told him, you can eat of every tree but the one in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In the day you eat of it, you'll die. Adam disobeyed God. And so we have the dispensation of conscience. Conscience meaning to know within or be aware and ability to interact in your surroundings. Aware and the ability to interact in and with your surroundings. As God has placed us in time, in physicality, we can interact through conscious awareness in our surroundings, and we do it through the five senses. The eye gate, the ear gate, the tongue of speaking, or smelling, and feeling. I might be missing one, but you get the point. In spirituality, let me explain this. When we are taken out of physicality, those five senses cause us to be able to operate or react in our surroundings. When we are taken out of physicality, God takes our conscience out, our bodies are destroyed, and we are given the ability to interact and resonate with our surroundings spiritually. Let me explain what I'm talking about. When the Apostle Paul was taken outside of Lystra and stoned and left for graveyard dead, he was out of it. He was unconscious, meaning he was out of consciousness or use of his physical faculties in physicality. But the Lord gave him spiritual consciousness. That's why when he got back, when the Lord gave him consciousness back, when he revived, got his physical senses back, he told them, I saw things. He didn't see them before they stoned him. While he was out, he saw things in what was described as the third heavens. But since he was back in physicality, there was not appropriate, adequate, able language to describe what he had seen while he was in the other consciousness. There were not words to describe it. So I'm saying to you, saints of God, and me, we haven't seen nothing yet. Don't worry about God has taken care of everything. The scriptures tell us we are complete in Christ. Christ Jesus our Lord. Then human government under Noah. It was a unit. Those were first two, conscious, innocent. Those were bilateral covenants. With Noah, it was a unilateral covenant. God didn't place no responsibility. Yeah, he told Noah to build a boat. But when he went in the boat, when he went in the boat, the Lord said who was to go in and who wouldn't. And the Lord shut them in to preserve them. We are preserved in the body of Christ. We are preserved. No matter what happened in physicality and time, we are well, overkill, preserved. The Noahic covenant. Noah was the federal head. It was unilateral. No condition was placed on Noah. Next was promise unto Abraham. It was a unilateral covenant, and it was the Abrahamic covenant. It was the dispensation of promise. God made promise to Abraham. And quit talking about Abraham's faith. God gave or caused Abraham to act in faithfulness. He told him to come out from your country, from all your kindred, to a land I'll show you. He said nothing about bringing Lot. Lot was his kindred. He got down there. He saw the land was not good. It was the promised land that God had promised to him. He left. Went down into Egypt. He was scared that they were going to kill him for his beautiful wife. He told her beforehand, say you my sister, so they won't do me in. Faith of Abraham. If God don't give faith, sustain us, we will all fall and falter and fail. Next dispensation was law. The Mosaic covenant, it was a bilateral. If you keep my commandments, then and only then, will you be a peculiar treasure unto me. Next dispensation, at least is the grace dispensation, but before that, before it was manifested, there was an introduction of the kingdom. The Lord Jesus came in, presenting the kingdom, he and John the Baptist. And the Lord Jesus, in the red writing in your King James Bible, the red writing, all of it, is the kingdom gospel. It's not the grace dispensational scriptures nor covenant. All of the red writing. It's not your gospel and directives. All of it. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gave it, but he didn't give it for us, members of his body, the church, which is his body. We weren't even manifested then as members of the body of Christ. You remember the Syrophoenician woman that came to Jesus looking for her daughter to have the devil cast out of her? Jesus says, not fit. I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the children of Israel. The Lord in his earthly, fleshly manifestation was not sent to Gentiles. He was sent to Israel. He says, not fitting to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. But the Lord calls faith in the woman. She said, yes, Lord. But the dogs eat of the crumbs that come from the children's table. We don't have to eat crumbs today. We have a dispensation, a covenant, a contract with God. We have blessings that trumps anything in this Bible outside of those 14 epistles that were given to the Apostle Paul by the resurrected, glorified Lord Jesus Christ. And then will be manifested the kingdom. When the kingdom is manifested, it will have the new covenant, which will replace the old covenant, which its constituents broke. They broke it. So God will give the new, and it's a unilateral. There will be no more conditions on them.
That's right.
The Lord will take care of all the business of the covenant for Israel and those Gentiles, according to the Abrahamic covenant, that will join or will be joined to Israel. Cornelius' household, Ruth, Rahab, all Gentiles will be associated with and a part of Israel and will share in their blessing. All right, now, back to our scripture.
Glory.
Ephesians chapter 2. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't have much time, so I got to run.
Thank you.
I spent a lot of time preparing the table. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by the grace we are having been and are saved. We are saved in manifestation because we were always saved in actualization. Actualization, again, is to bring into being or existence or to cause to exist, and it exists as a fact and always in the present. We are in the eternal now. We have a perfect tense there and the passive voice, meaning that our hands were off the completing or the workings of it. The perfect tense is a completed action with ongoing results to the present. Whenever the present is, and we always have eternal present, because eternity doesn't change, it doesn't sequence, it just is. And we are saved eternally. For by the grace, God's kindness, goodwill, undeserved kindness, and unmerited favor, no merit. The grace covenant is a unilateral covenant. Grace means no merit. None. Through or by means of faithfulness. Now, in your King James and some most of the translation, you have through faith. I'm going to tell you why it's... Now, faith is a noun. This word is a noun, pistis, pistis. It is a noun. Faith is a noun. But it's better faithfulness, which is also a noun. Now, let me remind you why it's better faithfulness. Because of what preceded it. We are having been and are saved. The having been part takes it out of our faith. Amen. In eternity. Yes. You weren't around in physicality and contribute anything. Mm-hmm. It was God's doing. Yes. That's why it is assigned to faithfulness. Yes. And then the next part confirms that. And this, not out of you. Out of is in the genitive case, and you is also in the genitive case. Genitive case shows possession or ownership. I own this, I possess this. But the negative particle before out of you is not. It's not of you. It's not of your doing. It's not of your proposing. It's not of your getting. It's not of your doing something to keep it. Not. Not belonging other than it was given to you. Not belonging to you as the creation of it or the actualization of it. Not. Not of you. Of God, the gift. Now, we might mess around with gifts and give things to people we like, our boss, our children, our neighbor, our cousin, our friend, according to how they have been with us. But we were contrary in our flesh. We were contrary to the Lord in our sinful nature. But God took care of business and gave us this salvation. Amen. It was in eternity before the manifestation of our contrariness. Now verse 9. Mm-hmm. Not, there it is again, not out of works. Not out of works. None of it. How could it be out of works when we were having been saved in eternity? Even though it's manifested in time, the actualization of it or coming into existence, yes. Our salvation, the coming into existence of it, was in eternity. How it gonna be you doing some work, visiting the sick in the nursing homes and serving on the worship board and the choir board and the deacon board? Not out of works. And here's the reason. This is a superordinating conjunction. It could be a subordinating conjunction, but we're going to go with the first one. Superordinating conjunction. In order that or so that. Mm-hmm. Not anyone may boast having boasted. Mm-hmm. God has determined in eternity regarding the boasting that he took care of salvation in eternity. Now, the uncertainty of it is in time, in the subjunctive, which is a mood of probability. God may, not now, but he may allow some to boast or think that they have done it or gotten it by works or their doing. Sound familiar? Sound familiar? You can go anywhere in the world and see saints that think that they contributed to their salvation, and you can hear it when they open their mouth. It'll come right out at you. You can tell when grace is prominent and prevalent. You can tell. Verse 10. For of him, God, we are. a product. A product is a thing that was created or made. Of God, we are a product, or we are His doings. We belong to Him. Created. Here we have the aorist tense and the passive voice. In eternity, we were created for God's purpose. Created in Christ Jesus, not in America, not in Europe, not in Africa, primarily in Christ Jesus, we were created. You might abide in South America or Europe temporarily, but we are right now, always were, in Christ Jesus. Remember? Perfect tense. Aorist tense. Completed action in the past for the perfect tense with ongoing right to the present. If the present be however many years we or eternally. Always eternally because it's eternally present. But however many years we go on in this earth, it's still, we're still saved. Created in Christ Jesus into works good, or for works good. The good works are not our doing. We were, before we were manifested in the flesh in time, we were created unto good works in Christ Jesus to or for good works. So when the good works manifest, who gets the glory? We were created for that. Now, if God withhold His restraints, the works won't appear so good so often. But the Lord overrules our depravity and manifests the good works that we were created for. Now, we have the passive voice here. Passive voice means that hands off, you didn't do it. We were created in eternity for good works, and the works, if passive voice say you didn't do them. It is God that worketh in us both the will and the doing of His good pleasure. Created in Christ Jesus and two good works, which, here's another kicker, here's the confirmation, which prepared beforehand. Here's an indicative aorist. I don't think the scholars will wrestle with this one, even though some might try. Prepared beforehand, or previously prepared, the God. God previously prepared. We have an indicative aorist. Indicative mood is a fact. In the aorist tense, as I see it, the word basically means unlimited. And then they say it's an event. But nothing, anything unlimited, saints of God, you're not talking in time. Aorist tense completed. If you say unlimited, you are always talking eternity or eternality. Ain't nothing in time unlimited. Think with me. See, just wasn't no limit to His silliness. Yes, it was. He can only be silly for so long. Even if He be silly till He die, that's not unlimited. It had a limit. His lifespan. That's right. Money. You say He got unlimited resources. Yes, He do. They are limited in time. They might be a whole lot more than ours or the average person, but they are limited. God previously prepared in advance, beforehand, in order that in them we may walk having walked. You got a subjunctive aorist again. God has decreed His children, not all, remember the mentally incompetent, remember the baby, even the aborted baby, Everything is actualized in eternity, brought into existence or being in eternity, and is in the present. In time is the uncertainty. We may walk according to the decree. I mean, we walk according to the decree, and the probability of may walk is in time. We may walk a while and act ugly. God step back and let depravity go. We may walk a while and then the Lord calls us to change.
Amen.
We may walk having walked. Salvation is of the Lord. People, on the sound of my voice, immediately and all over the world, wherever this message goes out, God, our God, is real. He's not just a faculty of our imagination. God is real. His word is the sole only determinant of what manifests or shows up in all of creation, anywhere in those beings of galaxies in the universe or the universe itself. God's word is the sole determinant of what manifests. His spoken word is the determinant of what reality and all existence really is. Understanding our eternal salvation, true understanding of it, that is complete, is safe, it can't end, is in the grace dispensational scriptures and covenant, where it shows how they're actualized in eternity by God's decree and how he has provided for it to be manifested. That's when we come to realize it in time. Oh my God, I'm saved. Oh, the Lord has saved me. And we dance all around the room sometimes, but we react in different ways. Be encouraged, saints of God. Be encouraged. God has got everything regarding you, your walk, your works, everything. What you're facing, what you're afraid of, what you're contemplating, how high, how low, how level. God has got everything already decreed and finished and worked out according to his will and his purpose. November 6th in America is already done. It's already finished. Let's rest. You notice I say in America, November 6th in America is already complete. Don't get the ups and the downs. It's done. And it's according to God's will. It will manifest according to his will, for his purpose, whatever it is, for his purpose, it will manifest as he has eternally decreed. God bless you.
Amen.